So please welcome Chris McKinney.
Thank you. Well, I started telling stories when I was about 10 years old to my younger sisters. And then I told them to my children. And then I went into the schools and told them to my children's classmates. And then I started telling to my grandchildren and going into my grandchildren's schools and telling there. But all those stories, most of them were fantasy adventure type stories made up as I went with the listeners as the main characters. Until about 6.5 years ago, I had never told stories to adults based on a theme, 8 to 10 minutes long, with a microphone. So I thought to celebrate the anniversary of Slolio, as well as my anniversary of coming here, I would tell the first story I ever told here about 6.5 years ago. The theme was road trip. And I'm telling a version of it. It probably won't be exactly how I told it 6.5 years ago. But in 1960, a movie was made called Where the Boys Are. And it just, I was just so enamored with this movie. It was about a spring break trip, and it starred Jim Hutton, Timothy's father, Paula Prentice, Yvette Mimeo, Frank Gorshin, Connie Francis, who sang the theme song. And I probably saw that movie 5 times during my high school years, and I thought, someday I'm going to do that when I'm in college. And in 1964, I did. I was at my second semester at a business college, and one of my classmates and I, and two of our friends who were probably freshmen at U of M, we all decided to go. The movie, the hot spot for spring break trips was Fort Lauderdale, but by the time we were going to take our spring break trip, it was Daytona Beach. So the four of us got into my Nash Rambler station wagon, and we're going to leave from Ann Arbor, just like they did in the movie. They left from Ann Arbor, Michigan. And back then, the interstate highway system was not complete. So there was no I-75 yet, which now is a straight shot, Michigan to Florida. Back then, what you did was went to AAA, and you got what they called a triptych. And it was a spiral-bound booklet that had sections of the road you would be traveling on with every page. And they would highlight it in yellow, so you'd know exactly how to get from point A from point B through 5 states. So we got our triptych, and we didn't have much money at all. We took a hot plate with us. We had tea bags, lots of envelopes of soup and ramen noodles. And, you know, the main goal was just to get there and party on the beach. So got in the, and we were going to drive straight through. We didn't have money for motels. We obviously had a motel at the destination, but from Michigan to Florida was straight through, taking turns driving, sleeping while the other person drove. So started out through Michigan, went down through Ohio, Kentucky, and then probably Tennessee, was all in the dark. I remember coming into Georgia when the sun was coming up, and we stopped at a gas station to get refreshed. And I saw something that I never saw in Michigan. Now, this was 1964. The bathrooms were men, women, and coloreds, and the drinking fountains were whites and coloreds. Did not see that in Michigan, but it was like that back then. So we continued through Georgia and came into Florida, stopped at the Welcome Center, drank as much free orange juice as we could possibly hold, and continued on our way to Daytona Beach. Checked into our hotel, a motel rather, on the beach. And I don't remember much about the week we were there at all, except for beach, boys, bikinis, beer, dancing. You know, we did what college kids do on spring break. And before we knew it, it was time to come home again. So we jumped in the car and started up a route A1A, which is kind of the equivalent of Highway 1 here. It hugs the coast along the Atlantic Ocean. And we weren't too far out of Daytona Beach before we realized that we didn't even get any souvenirs, we didn't take any pictures. So we pulled over and we ran down to the beach and we all grabbed a handful of shells and thought, at least we got some shells. And about 10 miles after that, I heard a rumbling. All of our luggage was tied up on the top of the car. And looked in the rearview mirror just in time to see one of our suitcases fly off the car. So luckily I saw it, put on the brakes, put it in reverse, went back to tie up the suitcase better. And it just so happened that where I stopped across the road was a huge place that sold lawn ornaments. And so while two of us were tying up the luggage, the two U of M girls were wrestling the wrought iron legs of a plastic pink flamingo out of the ground. And they came running to the car with this thing and threw it in the back and said, this is going to be our souvenir. And so I didn't think much of it. I was just driving the getaway car. So they kind of threw a towel over it and we continued on. And about 10 miles after that, we got pulled over. And this really cute young policeman stopped this car of these really cute four college girls and said, did you girls pick up some pottery on the way back? And at first, I didn't know what he was talking about. I said, well, we stopped to get some shells on the beach. Is that against the law, officer? He said, no, I didn't think. You guys look like the type. Go on, have a good trip. So we were on our way. Of course, by then we knew exactly what he was talking about, and the girls in the back covered it up even better. We got all the way to St. Augustine, 50 miles from Daytona Beach, and got pulled over again. This cop wasn't quite as nice. Do you girls pick up some wrought iron legs, pink flamingo from a lawn ornament place? And I lied. I said, no. I tried the same thing. You know, we picked up some shells. Well, then you wouldn't mind if I searched the car. Of course, he found it. And he said, I'm sorry. The guy wants to press charges. You guys are going to have to come back to Flagler County with me. So we had a police escort, one car in front, one car behind. They even had a roadblock set up at one point. Near Marineland or SeaWorld or one of those places. So we followed him all the way back to Flagler County Jail. And the first cop that pulled us over was in there. He wasn't too happy to see us. And the jail was full of college kids. It was a very small jail. And supposedly somebody, some college guys, had vandalized this guy's lawn ornament place, and they were never caught, so he was going to take it out on us. So there was a $500 fine. Well, we had enough money for gas, you know, to get home. So Gail, one of the U of M girls that had taken it, said, well, I'll call my boyfriend, and he'll get some money out of the bank and wire the fine to us. But it was Good Friday, and all the banks were closed from noon to 3. So there were no cells open, so we just hung around the jail all day until the money came through. And I remember at some point we met this guy that was behind bars, and he was hungry, so we went out to the car, got some Oreo cookies, and handed them through the bars on a broom handle to this kid, you know. So we hung around, got to know the cops, you know, and finally the money came through, and the fine was paid, and we were free to go. So we thought we had to get one picture. So we got one picture in front of Flagler County Jail with all the cops. The other cop took the picture of us, and that was our one picture. So we got in the car and we had an uneventful trip all the way back to Michigan. And that was my road trip story. And I have so loved coming here. It's just been so much fun, not only to try to come up with stories based on a theme, but to listen to the variety of interpretations on themes, and to see people in the audience, college age to much older, and everything in between, and get the feedback. And I've just loved it, so I will definitely keep coming. Thank you.